Good morning. Welcome to Zion Lutheran Church. So thankful that you're here this morning on the Lord's Day. If you are present here in the sanctuary, please sign in on the booklets found in the pew racks and then pass it on down. There's prayer request cards as well found there. You can fill those out and put them in the offering tray. That'd be wonderful. Welcome to those on KXRB. Just a reminder, if you're tuning in on the radio, we're here every Sunday morning at 10:05, and welcome on the live stream. Good to have you via the internet. Today we continue on in Acts as we look at the early church, the first century church. Today we look at Acts chapter 20 as Paul finally makes it to Troas, and Eutychus falls out of the window and dies as he hits the ground. Paul brings him back to life. So I'd like to say the theme today is a deadly sermon, but it's not. It's encouragement, so that'll be the basis of the message today. Well, the announcements I have that are rolling up on the screens before you. The first, we continue in our midweek Lenten Wednesday services. We have church at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. This week's theme is Jesus tells us why he must suffer. He wants to free us. The Ruth Guild will be serving chicken and rice casserole starting at 5:30 on Wednesday as well. A free will donation will be taken for that. We're walking to Jerusalem together again this year during Lent, and we've made it to Cleveland so far. Please record your activities and be sure to turn in your miles to Nurse Rachel each week. 20 minutes of activity equals 1 mile, or 1 mile equals 1 mile if you're out walking or running or whatever you're doing. There's more information on the display in the atrium. And then sign up for the Zion Women's Painting Party next Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. Space is limited, so contact Leah Petey, or you can call the church office if you'd like to attend, and we'll get you signed up. It will soon be time for Sundays on Palm Sunday. Families in faith invite you to a potluck and ice cream Sundays after the late service on Palm Sunday. Sign up is on the welcome wall in the east entry. Our South Dakota District President, Scott Seiler, will be here during the Bible study hour on April 6th. He will host an informational session about the pre-call process of calling another pastor. Make sure to attend and bring your questions. And finally, the Zion Youth are holding a national youth gathering fundraiser during Lent. Grab an envelope off the back wall of the sanctuary. You'll see all of the numbers written on papers there. Put the given dollar amount in the envelope and place it in the offering plate. And as the envelopes are removed, a thank you from our youth will appear. Those are the announcements I have for you. Once again, very thankful that you're here this morning. Let's rise and turn and greet one another in the peace and love of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome and a joyous good morning to you from all of us here at Zion Lutheran Church. Please join us now as we sing our opening hymn, Christ the Eternal Lord, from the Lutheran Service Book, number 829.
Christ the Eternal Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Gracious Heavenly Father, we confess that our faith wavers at times. We allow things of this world to produce uncertainty and fear within us. Although we believe in your victory at the end of time, we fail to trust you to protect us and relieve our anxieties each day. Forgive us, strengthen our faith in your almighty power and unconditional love, and turn us again toward your will. Grant us to serve you in peace and joy. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our intro this morning is Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself.
Where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God.
Blessed are those who dwell in your house.
They are ever praising you.
Blessed are those whose strength is in you.
Whose hearts are set on pilgrimage.
As they pass through the valley of Baca. They go from strength to strength. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor.
No good thing does he withhold from those who walk in kindness.
Lord Almighty,
blessed is the one
who trusts in you. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Blessed are those who dwell in your house. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. Father, we praise you and thank you for our salvation, made possible through the perseverance of your Son, Jesus, who endured both life and death to rescue us from our sin. And we are grateful for the persevering work of the Holy Spirit to free us from sin's grip. Now may we persevere in our lives, even unto death, for the sake of Jesus' glory and the fulfillment of the gospel mission. Strengthen us to endure all hardships and give us hearts to see the lost come to Christ in faith through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. We'll have our time in the Word.
Good morning. The reading today is Acts chapter 20, 1 through 12, 2 Corinthians 11, verses 22 through 28. When the uproar had ended, Paul sent for the disciples and, after encouraging them, said goodbye and set out for Macedonia. He traveled through that area, speaking many words of encouragement to the people, and finally arrived in Greece, where he stayed for 3 months. Because some Jews had plotted against him, just as he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to go back through Macedonia. He was accompanied by Sopater, son of Pyrrhus of Berea, Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, Timothy also, and Tychicus and Trophimus from the province of Asia. These men went ahead and waited for us at Troas. But we sailed from Philippi, and after the festival of unleavened bread, and 5 days later joined the others at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave that next day, kept on talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in the window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down and threw himself on the young man and put his arms around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said, "he is alive." Then went upstairs again and broke bread and ate, and after talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. And from 2 Corinthians, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. And are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they the servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger from the city, in danger from the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of all my concern for the churches. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join the congregation as we sing "In the Cross of Glory of Christ I Glory" from the Lutheran Service Book, number 427. Pastor Greg Lehrer is now entering the pulpit to deliver today's message.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I stand before you to defend the long-winded sermon, and I want you to know that I stand here in very good company. Paul, the greatest theologian in the New Testament, perhaps in human history, preached so long that a young man in the audience named Eutychus fell asleep while sitting in a windowsill and fell three stories to his death. Amazingly, though, that didn't damper the service. Paul, without skipping a beat, he went downstairs, he healed the man, he came back upstairs, he talked from midnight until dawn. Let me say, you go, Paul! Now, if you read the entire chapter of Acts chapter 20, you can get some really great insights into the heart of the Apostle Paul. It's amazing, this long-winded preacher. When he'd finished speaking in Tros during this event and was getting ready to leave, this is what the people did on the screen. They all cried as they embraced and kissed him goodbye. So it made me wonder, how long is the perfect service, you may be wondering, or perfect sermon then, you may be wondering. Well, when the preacher exhibits the same qualities as the Apostle Paul, his sermon can be as long as it takes. And as I was going through these readings, Acts chapter 20 and then 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you've already heard it read this morning, I wondered about what will the focus be for this message, and the word encouragement kept popping up. Encouragement. The dictionary defines encourage as to inspire with courage, spirit, or confidence. So when I think of the word encourage or encouragement, in my mind's eye, I see a picture of someone overcoming something very difficult. Someone experiencing maybe the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death, but yet coming out on the other side alive or okay. Whether it's a stressful event in your life, or whether it's a painful health emergency, or some other numerous personal difficulty. Courage, encouragement. Also know that in the 12 verses of Acts chapter 20, the author Luke, he summarizes over 2 years of Paul's ministry, pretty much summing it up with one single word, and that's the word I kept coming to, encouragement. You can see it on the screen. That's my hope as well as we gather here this morning and as this day comes done in our worship time together, that you may be strengthened in, with, and through God's word and be encouraged in your journey of life in his presence with his gospel until our day comes. So Acts chapter 20 opens with the Apostle Paul. After surviving a riot in Ephesus, that's chapter 19 of Acts, he's gathering then with his disciples in the city and he's encouraging them. Not only does the Apostle Paul encourage them, but he went through the various regions as well, giving many words of encouragement to the people. Up on the screen, it's popping up. When the uproar had ended, Paul sent for the disciples and, after encouraging them, said goodbye and set out for Macedonia. He traveled through the area, speaking many words of encouragement to the people, and finally arrived in Greece. So the book of Acts takes great effort to show how the first century disciples were encouragers of one another. Paul encouraged the disciples and all of the people as he traveled, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said, Acts 14:22. Judas and Silas as well from the book of Acts, they encourage the people of God as they travel. So the men were sent off and went down to Antioch where they gathered the church together and delivered the letter that Paul had written to them. The people read it and were glad for its encouraging message. Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the believers. Acts 15. Paul encouraged the Christians in Philippi. After Paul and Silas came out of prison, they went to Lydia's house where they met with the brothers and the sisters and encouraged them. Acts 16. And then Barnabas himself, right? Barnabas is called Barnabas because he was an encourager to others. And one of our important tasks, dear friends, as well, as we must practice encouragement with one another in this place as well. That was the focus of the writer of the book of Hebrews. And he wanted his audience to focus on encouragement on the screen. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing or not doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We should want to be together because we know that we're going to be encouraged. We should want to be together because you may be the instrument of encouragement for someone else. There are people here today, dear friends in Christ, who need encouragement. Are you ready to encourage today? Are we ready to encourage love and encourage good works in, with, and through each other this day? Because if we just look at the church as something we watch but we don't engage in, we're going to miss out on the key function of our gathering. And one of the key functions, or the key reasons we are together today, right here, right now, why God wants us here is so that we can encourage one another just by our presence, you see. Paul knew that God's people needed encouragement. Barnabas knew that God's people needed encouragement. The writer of the Hebrews knew that too. We must be ready to stir each other up with faith for the work that the Lord has before us. So let's venture on back to Acts chapter 20, verse 3 now. It's popping up there. And Luke wrote, because some Jews had plotted against him, Paul, just as he was about to sail for Syria, he decided to go back through Macedonia. Paul had his eyes on Jerusalem. At this point, he wanted to get back to Jerusalem. He was focused on Jerusalem. And he originally intended in Tros to take a passage on a pilgrim ship, hoping to reach Jerusalem by the Passover. But the Corinth Jews, they wanted Paul dead. They had their own plans. And what they were going to do is they were going to put all Jews on this ship that Paul was going to sail on. And there was going to be some kind of an accident, you know, like someone hit Paul over the head and threw him overboard, and there wouldn't be any cry that would be raised, man overboard. They'd just keep going. And Paul would be gone. He'd be dead. However, he found out. Now, maybe by the Lord's intervention, I don't know. But Paul heard about their plot, and he had no intention then, right, to get on that ship to suffer and die at sea like it happened to him so many other times, and in many and other various ways he suffered as well. So he split the group up, and he took the land route. That's why we have 2 Corinthians chapter 11 as our second reading for today. Paul shares those sufferings with us, so we too are encouraged in our suffering for the sake of the gospel. It's not on the screens. I'm going to share again just a few of his sufferings, which I hope you see minimizes our sufferings, but yet encourages us as well. Here we go. Just sit back. Paul said, I've worked much harder. I've been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely. I've been exposed to death again and again. And he's defending himself against false prophets that now have come into Corinth, okay? Next verse. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. You see, he wasn't going to get on that ship again and go through another experience. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. And what amazes me about the Apostle Paul, under all of these conditions, his major concern is for other Christians, to encourage them. By this time, notice as well that Paul's assembled himself a team of nine. He has representatives from Macedonia, which is Berea, Thessalonica, and Philippi. And during that time there, he picks up Luke. He has representatives from Galatia, which is Derbe and Lystra. He's got representatives from the province of Asia. He's got representative from Ephesus. And see, what I find here, and I hope you see it as well, is another encouragement from Paul. And this encouragement is that Paul doesn't work alone. Paul's a team player. Paul knows the importance of a good team. He's constantly investing himself in the lives of other people who will share in the work of the ministry with him and even continue it on when he's not there, when he's gone. In his absence, they'll carry it on. So I think, dear friends, we can learn a thing or two or three from Paul's life on how to encourage others in the work of the gospel. And then finally, Paul reaches Troas again. That's at Acts chapter 20, verse 6, coming up on the screen. We, it's written, so it's Luke and the gang of nine, we sailed from Philippi after the festival of unleavened bread, after the Passover, and 5 days later joined others at Troas. There we stayed 7 days. Paul wanted to preach there so bad, but he hadn't been able to because of this, that, or the other thing. But now he has a chance, and he's going to take advantage of it, and he's going to use all the time possible. So according to Acts chapter 20, verse 7 to 12, the church is meeting up on the third floor of a building. It's dark out, okay, catch that. But yet Luke writes for a specific reason. It's really light in the room. There's more lights and lamps lit than any one really needed. It was so bright in there. And he did that to show us that Paul's not afraid. He's not hiding in the dark. He's out in the light, open, proclaiming the gospel. Even though he was in danger, he's not hiding. But the room is getting hotter and hotter and hotter, and the many lamps that are lit is taking the oxygen probably out of the air as well, and it's crowded, and Eutychus moves towards the window to get some fresh air, right? And Paul is going on and on and on, long-winded. Well, no. Remember, his sermon can be as long as it takes, right, Paul Farmer? But anyway, as Paul preaches, Eutychus falls asleep in the windowsill, and suddenly there's a commotion and there's a crash. And so they all hurry down the stairs, and Eutychus dies at impact on the ground from 3 stories up. And they're gathered around, and Paul comes through the crowd, and he throws himself on that young man. And here it comes on the screen, Acts chapter 20, verse 10 to 12. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, put his arms around him, and said, "Don't be alarmed. He's alive." And then he went back upstairs again, broke bread, and ate. After talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man, Eutychus, home alive and were greatly comforted. Little sidetrack here now, it kind of reminds me of some Old Testament prophets as well. Elijah, right? He restored the life of the son of the widow of Zarephath in 1 Kings chapter 17. Elisha, his prototype, he revived the son of the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings chapter 4. How about the Apostle Peter? He raised Dorcas to life. Jesus raised Jairus' daughter. Jesus raised the son of Nain's widow, the widow's son. And of course, Lazarus, he raised Lazarus from the dead, Jesus. So I think what this is showing us, dear friends, is the power of life. that is at work through his word and through his servants. It's really the power, it just flashed up there on the screen. It's the power of resurrection, which is for all of us who believe. When Paul raised this boy to life, he was living by faith in Jesus. What the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verse 11 is true on the screen. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, like in Eutychus and you today, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. And when Paul was done, everyone left encouraged. Right? The relatives of Eutychus were comforted. The whole crowd was rejuvenated, first through the word of God, second through this witnessing of this miracle, no doubt. And Paul, you know what? He's never going to see these people again. But I bet you he left a lasting impression, didn't he? In this passage, we see Paul as a man of encouragement. He went beyond human ability, even suffering. Why? Because he loved Jesus Christ, he loved people, and he wanted everyone to know that the gospel was so important, that's where they find their forgiveness of sins and their link back to the Heavenly Father who created them. Who have we encouraged lately? Just a self-reflecting question as we come to the conclusion today. Who have we, who have you, who have I encouraged lately? Keep that in mind. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 is going to come up on the screen. Therefore, encourage one another, build each other up, just in fact as you are doing by being here this morning. You are encouraging each other. The body of Christ, dear friends, it's a powerful source of encouragement. As believers, we're not meant to walk this journey alone. God's placed us within a church, a community of believers, the body of Christ, who are called to support and uplift and strengthen each other, to encourage one another in times of difficulty. The encouragement that we receive from fellow Christians can help reignite, if you will, our faith and our hope. And then through prayer and through words of encouragement and through acts of service for each other, the body of Christ does what? Well, it becomes the tangible expression of God's love and support. You are the hands and feet of Jesus himself through the body of Christ called the church. And the biggest encouragement of all is this. I want you to hear this. Of course, it's Jesus Christ. He's the biggest encouragement for us all because he's the one who endured all the shame, all the pain of the cross of Calvary. And yet he tells us this. It's up on the screen. Take heart. I've overcome the world. Therefore, in all of our suffering and endurance of trials, we must never be discouraged. We must never doubt that God has made us to be his children. For just as Christ overcame sin, death, and the devil, overcoming the world in his resurrection, we too shall overcome the world by faith in him. Which means, dear friends in Christ, that not only has Christ overcome the world, but in him, really and truly, already now, you see, so have you have overcome the world. So have you. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. He's overcome the world for you. Amen. Well, if Abel will rise and confess our common faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and on the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. We'll collect our offering and tithes at this time. Remember the prayer request cards as well. You can put those in the offering tray, or there's a receptacle in the back of the sanctuary marked prayers. The children's treasure box is up here for them to walk up their offering as well.
Please join the congregation as we sing Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart from the Lutheran Service Book, number 806.
If able, please rise for prayer. Almighty God, we give thanks for all your goodness and bless you for the love that sustains us from day to day. We praise you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, for your holy church, for the means of grace, for the lives of all faithful and just people, and for the hope of the life to come. Help us to treasure in our hearts all that you have done for us, and enable us to show our thankfulness in lives that are wholly given to your service. Lord, in your mercy, preserve our nation in justice and honor, that we may lead a peaceable life with integrity. Grant health and favor to all who bear office in our land, especially the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislature of this state, South Dakota, and to all of those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Help them to serve this people according to your holy will. Lord, in your mercy, take from us all hatred and prejudice. Give us the spirit of love and order our days in your peace. Prosper the labor of those who work to bring peace and justice to the nations of the world, that mutual understanding and common endeavor may be increased among all peoples. Lord, in your mercy, by your word and spirit, comfort all who are in sorrow or need, sickness or adversity. Be with those who suffer persecution for the faith. Have mercy on those whom death draws near. Bring consolation to those in sorrow, and grant to all a measure of care, taking them into your tender care. Lord, in your mercy, grant your Holy Spirit to those who come to the Lord's table this day, and may they receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ in sincere repentance and firm faith into their abundant blessing. Lord, in your mercy, all these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. It is good for us to thank the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Join together and pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and after he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, after supper, he took the cup, and after he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Amen. Please rise if you're able. And now this eating and drinking of the body and blood of your Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may constantly be encouraged to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. Amen.
Please join the congregation as we sing the closing hymn, I Am Trusting Thee, Lord Jesus, from the Lutheran Service Book, number 729.
Zion Lutheran, we are committed to reaching out, strengthening the saved, and serving Jesus Christ by serving others. Amen. Have a blessed Sunday, all.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a broadcast of the early morning worship service of Zion Lutheran Church, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. If you have no regular church home, we want to invite you to be our guests at our Sunday services. Traditional worship is held at 8 a.m. and contemporary worship is held at 10:30. Our educational hour with classes for all ages is at 9:15. Zion Lutheran Church is located one block west of Minnesota Avenue at 22nd and Spring and is affiliated with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If these broadcasts have been a blessing to you, we would appreciate your prayers and support. Our mailing address is Zion Lutheran Church, 1400 South Duluth Avenue, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, 57105. Or visit us online at zionlutheransf.com, and you can also find us on Facebook and YouTube. Thank you for listening and for your support in this ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's blessings to each of you. Until next week, this is Jeff Flayton wishing you the blessings of God's grace in Christ Jesus.